Hey everybody, it's the Commodore from the Clan of the Grey Wolf, and you are watching the Weekly Ringer series here on clanofthegreywolf.com on a Super Bowl Sunday here in the United States, which is why I'm donning the football gear, because after all, my Giants are still the Super Bowl champions until they are dethroned this evening. So might as well celebrate my last day of the year that I can. In any case, it's great to be back with you guys. We've got a lot to cover today. We've got to talk about the ringer from last time, which was really about this kind of movement coming out of CES, about this unified console idea, where you have one console that is your mobile platform, that is your home platform, and that is your multiplayer platform, and is your streaming, all those things in the same device. You guys had a lot to say about that. I've got to tie a bow around that conversation, make sure we finish it up, and I'll give you my thoughts as I always do here on the Weekly Ringer. But I'm also going to then move to a conversation for next week, which I think is going to be a doozy. It's been a while since we did a part of what I call the Why Is Something Awesome series. So we're going to do one of those today. So you know, whenever I break out the awesome, question for you guys, that it's going to be a topic that I think all of us are really going to enjoy. So stay tuned for that for the end of the video. All right. So lots to talk about, as I say, from this unified console concept, which I talked to you guys about last time, and I asked you about. I asked you specifically, what do you think of this idea of the unified console? Now, conversation went in a lot of different directions, as we are, as we typically do here in the Weekly Ringer. So I certainly make no apologies for that, and certainly don't think that there's any reason why we shouldn't go in all different directions during the course of the conversation. But let me give you what I meant. What I meant was the idea, and I thought I explained this, but I guess sometimes it's just things don't translate very well on video when you know, make sense to me. I'm not exactly sitting here with other people for them to go, oh, you aren't making any sense right now. Just kind of, if it makes sense to me, then I put it up, right? Okay, so, what I was really looking for was the idea of a singular console that is everything all in one, as in, Project Shield from NVIDIA is something that is a self-contained gaming platform. The reason they call it Project Shield is because it's kind of an Xbox 360 controller with a screen in front of it, and it plays, supposedly, current-gen level video games on an Android platform, touchscreen. But the idea and concept is that you could actually use this as your online multiplayer console, so you could play your online multiplayer PC games on it, streaming your multiplayer online PC games as well, but also being able to connect it to your television, use it as your home console, and so on and so forth, to do all kinds of other multimedia things like play movies and music and all those other kind of great things that we're also being told is part of the new unified console idea, which was not where I was going, but where many of you went. This concept of the box as the multimedia centerpiece of the living room rather than strictly video game systems. And I think that's an equally interesting concept, but not really where I was going with the conversation this week. Although I think that is going to be something we're going to revisit very soon in the Weekly Ringer, because we did find out this week that Sony is going to be making, and probably very shortly thereafter Microsoft, are going to be making their announcements of the next generation hardware they're going to be releasing before E3. So it's going to happen probably this month for Sony, and it's going to happen probably with Xbox by the end of March. Here's hoping, between you and I, that they do it at PAX East, because I will definitely be there, and that would be awesome to be there for a console unveiling, and I would definitely love that. But anyway, so we learned that those things are going to be coming out. So there's going to be an announcement of new hardware very soon, and these companies are definitely trying to become the center of your living room. They're not content anymore just being able to play video games. They want to be the center of your living room. The Wii U is a perfect example of that, and the way that Xbox Live has evolved is as well. So that's a concept and a topic I think we should revisit once we see the specs and once we see what the vision for these consoles really is. We find out what kind of design philosophies they've undergone and been a part of. I think then we can probably comment on what that the nature of those consoles will be. So we'll put that one on hold and go back to the idea of the unified console. That is kind of the PlayStation Vita's promise, even if it never delivered, of being able to deliver a current-gen console experience while also offering it in a compact mobile platform that is maybe will fit in your pocket, but is certainly not very large and you could take with you and certainly is kind of, you know, easier to move around than bringing your Xbox 360 in a TV set, right? Okay. So, in general, let's talk about some of the things, I guess, in general. I also wasn't referring to, several of you picked up on this, I also wasn't referring to kind of a grand unified console market. I feel bad because a lot of times when I engage certain topics from the news, I just assume you guys have read about them or can look them up, rather than giving you a few things to read. So some of you might have taken what I was asking for as something very different. Rather than what I was talking about or some of the articles that I've read or some of the movements that are happening in video games today. So I certainly wasn't talking about unifying all three console or home console, at least current home console manufacturers, into a singular home console. I think that's a ridiculous idea. Those of you that have been watching the Weekly Ringer long enough know that I am an ardent supporter of competition, specifically in the video game market, where I think competition keeps everyone honest and produces a lot better video games in the end, and that is the way it should be. So, I certainly wasn't going there either. So I wanted to put that out there as well. The other thing that was an undercurrent, which is the duh answer, and this is why I didn't want to harp on it too much, is that execution is still the most important. It doesn't matter what the system is going to be. Doesn't matter what the philosophy behind it is going to be. If it sucks, it sucks. If it plays good games and it's executed well, then people will generally buy it. I am a firm believer in this. Several of you echoed those sentiments. I agree 100%. That's not my question. My question isn't, you know, well, if they execute it well, will you buy it? Oh, of course you will. My question is, what do you think of the concept? So, and thirdly, another thing that many of you pointed out was that we see a generalized movement in consoles now away from the specs of the hardware itself. This is important because what we're actually seeing is a shift toward the service or toward the provider as being more important than the actual hardware and the delivery of that hardware. And I think that's absolutely, first of all, it's undeniable. That's happening. Look at the Xbox 360. When it launched in 2005 and what its capabilities and functions were in 2005. And then look at what the Xbox 360's function and capabilities are today. The hardware is exactly the same. I know there's a few minor modifications so that it doesn't blow up and overheat. But other than that, in terms of in compactness as well, it's smaller. But the hardware is exactly the same. The capabilities are exactly the same. There are no games for the 360 that the original one can't play and vice versa. The issue is that the capabilities, because of the Xbox Live platform, have astronomically changed since the 360 launched in 2005. So, what you have then is really a system that becomes completely enhanced, not by itself, not by its own hardware, but by the service or the provider that offers it. And Microsoft has even become a bit of a provider and done some pilot studies around doing subsidized consoles, the same way that you purchase your mobile phone, for example, where they actually give you a huge discount on the hardware in order to commit to a few years of subscription service to their subscription to Xbox Live. I think you might be able to see some more of this. You know, Xbox can offer this because they don't give away their network for free. So there could be a subsidized model, I think, for the new Xbox, and that you could buy it actually for relatively cheap amounts of money as long as you commit to a few years of the service. Which I'll tell you right now would actually put me in the game of probably wanting to buy a launch system versus waiting and waiting and waiting until the cost of the system I think is more reasonable, which is what I normally do. And you guys know I got a huge backlog of games, so there's no surprise there. Anyway, those are some of the kind of broader currents going through the arguments this week, and I always like to bring, you know, some kind of highlight to those ideas because I think they really support the arguments that that you all made. So anyway, let's get into some of the specific comments and specific contributions from you guys. Mega Man X 4321 is excited about this concept, and I think there's good reason to be excited. You know, one system that does it all, I think, is attractive to almost anyone. You know, there are a few comments later on, I'll get to them in a minute, that are at the very least hesitant to accept this idea, but, you know, in general might even just be against it. But I think in concept, it's very simple. If I could carry around a little box, you know, even if it was the size of my mobile phone, for example, I got it right here, right? The size of my mobile phone, I bring that around, and I can, you know, I can have maybe an accessory for it that I can pop in and start playing like this, you know, for while I'm you know, on the go, on the road, whatever the case might be. But then I could take it and I could just hit a button, and all of a sudden it appears on my TV screen, and I can just play on my TV screen in full high definition video as well. And then I could do all kinds of other things too, like streaming, like playing multiplayer, like doing all those kinds of things. Other people that had it could come to my house, sit in the same place, and we could actually play multiplayer games against each other in the same place. That concept is something I don't think any of us would shy away from. The obvious answer is execution, but I think the concept, which is what Mega Man X 4321 is talking about, I think is very attractive, which is why I ask about it. Red Mage. There are several points that you guys made here, and I like this one particular concept. The unified console would have one market. So, in other words, when you buy a singular console, you get all these different modes of gaming, which I think would shut down a couple of the markets that they have right now. Now, you might say, and what I mean by that is this, let me clarify. So, in other words, there's only a singular market. Right now, there are many different video game markets. There are the casual games for your cell phone, for mobile gaming, right? There are standalone gaming consoles that are mobile. There is the home console market. There is the PC market. And all of these things, and then the services and providers that go all behind the scenes to make those things do what they do. Take all those and you collapse them into one is what you're basically seeing with that all-in-one console. And I think, when we get down to it, I think businesses that follow video gaming are not going to be very happy about that, because there are lots of different revenue streams that then get collapsed into one. Some people like this idea, especially if they want to just have, you know, the reason that Apple took the world by storm is because they offer a singular platform within which everyone has the same hardware, so you don't have to worry about compatibility issues or ports or any of these other kinds of things. You just have a singular unified platform. So it's worked before, and developers certainly like it for certain reasons. But other developers, I don't know, like say Valve, can't stand that idea. The idea that you have a closed proprietary platform is something they very much do not like. So I think that's a great point. Let's talk about market dynamics here. You're talking about the idea that a unified console would have only one market. It would collapse everything into one market. And, you know, at least initially. And I think that's probably something that companies want to shy away from. Okay. Nightwolf says that, you know, the more generalized point I made before, that new consoles really seem to be geared more toward being entertainment devices than they are video game consoles. And that has a bearing on the idea of a unified console in general. So a unified console is going to have to do a lot more these days than I think the consoles of the old used to do, because of the fact that we demand so much more from our systems these days. Now, many of you, so me included, I don't have my Facebook account tied to my Xbox Live account, and I don't think I ever will, because that just doesn't, you know, interest me. Yeah, maybe I'm watching some Game of Thrones on my Xbox and I see the Facebook like button and say, well, that's interesting. I could just hit on Facebook and share it and everyone would know that, you know, I love Game of Thrones. I'll be honest with you, I don't really like that idea. I'm not really into it. Some of you probably can't live without that, though. And if that's you, then you're going to be the people that they're targeting to try to become the center of your universe when it comes to sharing information and the center of the entertainment universe in your living room. The concept of the smart TV really kind of fights this idea. Smart TV has pretty much all of these capabilities, even if it can't play the same kind of games that your console can. So the consoles, as being a dedicated console, have more capabilities, which tends to be, I think, their selling point. They're just kind of pulling in other things that are ancillary to their primary purpose of being a video game console. TVs are your primary purpose of being a monitor to view things, but have ancillary purposes of connecting to the internet and letting you watch YouTube videos. Whatever the case might be, the smart TV concept is exactly what the video game world is working on. Because you see the collision of several different markets. You see TVs, you see cable providers, you see content providers like Netflix that are agnostic toward the provider that you use. And then you see video games kind of running right into it. And the set-top box people too, the entertainment folks, Roku and Boxy and all these kind of Apple TV. You see them all kind of running into the exact same spot and hitting each other at the same place. And they all have a different idea of how that's supposed to look. The consoles now are in that war. It's not just a console war anymore, folks. They're fighting against markets that they don't traditionally play in. I think that's why this console generation is going to be very exciting to watch. So, good point from Nightwolf. Sonic Rose brought up an interesting point. This, you know, it certainly allows for a single point of failure, which is a term that gets used a lot in business and so on. But the idea is very simple. If you have a grand unified console, one that even has a controller built into it, for example, what happens if, you know, you get some syrup on it and you can't, and button A sticks, right? At that point, your entire console is screwed unless you can find a way to fix it, right? So instead of it being something where you go, oh, my button sticks, you know, either figure out a way to fix that, or you go and you buy a completely new controller for a couple, you know, for... You know, a used one for $20, or a third-party one on Amazon for $20, or you go and buy a brand new one for $40 or $50. Either way, you're not buying an entirely new console. You're just buying a new controller, some of what, you know, which might be actually helpful for some of you anyway, because maybe you wanted another controller and you find another way to fix the old one. The point is, you don't have to worry about your entire system being kaput. You just worry about the controller being dead. Right? Or the battery dying, or whatever the case might be. If you unify everything together, if one thing fails, the whole freaking thing fails, and that is generally not a very good thing. Okay, the physics of video games makes a prediction that this is more of a fad than a trend, or in other words, that this is something that people at the companies are probably looking at and saying, man, this is great to see dollar signs, to see all these kinds of grand unified visions of how this thing should come together, but at the end of the day, it's probably not going to be the be-all and end-all. It's not going to define the next movement of video gaming. And, you know, I think, in my mind, I tend to agree with physics of video games. It doesn't seem to me to be, at this particular point in time, doesn't seem to be a plausible solution for video gamers. I think, instead, it is an alternative, or it is something that video games companies get very excited about because they feel like they can pull it off, and then they realize they can't, and lo and behold. So, I think that's, I agree with physics of video games. I think this is probably more of a fad, but I'll get into that when I talk about my own opinion in a minute. Akira VGA really highlighted the idea that it's more about service than specifications. It's more about the delivery of the platform than it is about the specifications of the hardware specifically. Remember, folks, really, the console wars that we've seen so far have been specification wars. If you remember the PC wars of the early and mid-90s, which I was definitely a big part of, you know, everybody wanted to have the new, highest triangle and highest polygon count video GPUs. You wanted to have the fastest CPUs. You wanted to have the most memory that was the lowest latency and the highest front side bus and all these other kinds of things, right? Because it used to really be about specs. Well, software has really changed over the last, I would say, decade to the point where it's really not about specification. It's really much more about flawless execution in software and then delivery of that service. And so I think that works here as well. So what we end up doing is we end up flirting with a completely a different market, guys. And that is the one that says that our stuff, our things, will be floating out there in the great ether. And then we will go out and get them and bring them to wherever we want them, whether it be on our television screen, whether it be on our mobile game platform, whether it be whatever. And in that point, you're really only kind of looking at a network-enabled screen, whether it be your phone, your television, your projector, whatever thing you can imagine, your laptop, right, your iPad, whatever. The point is, folks, at that point, it is really very irrelevant in some ways. what the hardware is specifically, and is much more reliant on the cloud. And several of you jumped into that arena because I think the video game companies are seeing that specs are less important than the platform of delivery. And there's no doubt in my mind that Xbox has a step up on the competition in that regard. So I think they feel very confident. Whether or not they have the highest spec system in the next generation, and the reports are that they will not, I think in many ways it will still be very, very capable, and at the very least will be very capable of delivering the platform of Xbox Live in the most seamless way, which I think you see the 360 do very well right now, which is probably one of the reasons why I won't be buying one of the new consoles for a long time to come. In any case, we've seen some of the specifications for these guys, and I don't want to shy away from it. Let's be honest. The rumors on the street are that these consoles are going to be very, very beefy. They're going to have some very expensive, very high-end specifications to the tune of, gigs of RAM versus, look at the 360 right now, has half of a gig of RAM, right? So you look at 8, 12 gigs of RAM potentially, right? You look at, the other thing that's interesting is that they're all looking to unify now on more or less an x86 platform on an AMD solution. So in other words, they're now, it looks like, this is all rumor and speculation, but they're all going to have AMD platforms. So probably 8 core AMD CPUs and then having one or even multiple GPUs that are also AMD that work as a singular ecosystem to deliver the platform. Both consoles seem to be unifying in that architecture. That's interesting too, because it's like when Mac got off of the PowerPC world and came into x86, it opened up a whole new world of development capabilities and possibilities to where you could actually run Windows on a Mac in many ways better than you could run it on a Windows PC in many cases, and vice versa. So, there's all kinds of cool things that really could be coming from the specs. So I don't want to back away from the specs. They're huge. At least they're rumored to be huge. And as much as there might be tiered versions of the consoles, that could change. But in any case, I just want to say, just because we want to say the specs aren't that important, they're still going to be massive. And another point to be made, and several of you talked about this, is that they're very PC-like. And if they're very PC-like, then the question becomes, why not just hook your PC to a television? And at the end of the day, I'm not sure I can figure out why, guys. Maze, lastly, is talking about, it's not looking for the all-in-one. You want to know why? Because an all-in-one tends to be a jack-of-all-trades and a master at none. That means that they're really never 100% that great at any one given thing. They're not great at gaming. They're not great at content delivery. They're not great at your social platform of choice. They're not great at, whatever. But they do all of that, and they do all of it pretty well, right? Well, I think, many of us probably, I think there's something to be said about delivering the best of the gaming platforms. If you ask Epic Games, the idea of having, you really need some amazingly beefy hardware to be able to run their next generation of Unreal Engine. So at the end of the day, they want to see horsepower because they want a dedicated gaming system to be able to deliver the best that gaming has to offer. And by the way, I don't know if any of you have seen some of the demos of the new Unreal Engine, but it is absolutely phenomenal. And I think we can all agree, if engines are going to be that powerful, and if there are going to be games that look that splendid and wondrous, then I think we probably want to get behind that. And we probably would at some point want to trade in that old jack of all trades, master of none. So great point from Maze. I think that at the end of the day, the idea of the all-in-one is fantastic, but probably a little bit undeliverable given our history and understanding of the video game market in the past. So what do I think about all this? First of all, I think it was a great conversation from all of you. What do I think about all this? I think that, as we've said, I think it's a great concept. I think we're probably eventually going to get there. And I think all of the console manufacturers are making a nod toward this regardless. They understand that the platform and the cloud is going to be important. They understand that the social, that media, that you know, games are all kind of becoming one similar ecosystem, and that it really isn't about necessarily the delivery of the web. It's more about the delivery of services. And I think that is a fundamental shift in the way that, console manufacturers are going to approach the internet and connectivity and the way that we're going to share information, which is exciting. That being said, I don't understand in many ways why, as we evolve these gaming consoles, you know, they are basically what the original Xbox was, folks. And that is that they are a basically tightly controlled implementation of a PC that basically makes it very easy to hook to your television, right? Let's face it. If you're not a geek and you've never opened a PC, it's going to be very difficult to buy a PC that you want to hook up to your TV and use as a dedicated television-connected platform. Most people, folks, let's face it, are not going to be doing that. So what they do instead is they buy a PC that's basically been prepackaged by someone and very easy to hook into your TV and your internet connection or your Wi-Fi or whatever and just rock and roll, right? So as long as I think we have so many people out there that want to have a gaming platform but are not necessarily geeks or not necessarily, you know, being able to, folks that are able to really jump in and define their own PC hardware, then you're going to see these kind of PCs that get hooked to the TV pretty easily. Which is why the other thing that came out of CES, which is the finalized version of the Steam Box, or at least a hardware specification version of the Steam Box, is very exciting. You know, you have basically a tiny, tiny PC that's capable of doing all kinds of different gaming right from your home network and from your TV. And that's really all it is. And I think with the Ouya and with the with Project Shield and with all these other things that came out of CES, what we're seeing is that the specifications aren't nearly as important as they used to be. As we've said many times here already today, I think that is the general sentiment, and I think that's the lesson that is to be learned. So there you have it. I think I think that we will see a lot more of these things, these unified ideas about consoles come out, but I'm not sure we're going to see any of these in execution. Great conversation, guys. Now let's move on. So we've done a lot of very heady topics lately, a lot of things that are very much about kind of current day stuff, and I realized we hadn't talked about a lot of retro things in a while, which, you know, at the end of the day, happens to be a lot of the bread and butter we offer here at theclanofthegreywolf.com. So I thought to myself that maybe we should go back and start talking about some retro gaming for this week. I know all of you are going to get behind that in a big, major way. So, as many of you know that have watched for a while, I inaugurated this a few months back, where I asked you guys, why is something X so awesome? Could be a lot of different things. I happened to ask that time about Castlevania. This week, I want to continue that particular vein of thought. I like the idea of being able to ask about why the things that we love in video gaming are so great and why they are celebrated as such. And therefore, I'm going to ask this question this week for the Weekly Ringer. The question is this: why is Chrono Trigger so awesome? I don't even need to get into an explanation as to what I'm looking for this week. I have a funny feeling you all are going to be able to run with this one. Hey, listen, you haven't played it in a while? Pop that sucker in. Play a couple minutes of it. Tell me why it's awesome. Don't just give me the, give me your memories. I'm not saying that's wrong. Give me all your memories. I want to know it. But I want to know, if you pop that sucker in now and you play it, why is this thing to be revered? If you're explaining this to somebody that's never even seen it before, why is this so great? Why does it seem like everyone in the video game world knows this game is phenomenal? Why is that? I want to know. All right. So that's the question for next week's Weekly Ringer. I think, it'll be a great topic of conversation. I have a funny feeling so many of you are going to have something to say about why Chrono Trigger is so awesome, and therefore I look forward to the conversation. So, thank you all for being a part of the community here on clanofthegreywolf.com, and thank you for commenting, those of you that have. Thank you for those of you that just watch. It's great to have you guys on board, and obviously I'm very glad to continue to do the Weekly Ringer. So this has been the Weekly Ringer from clanofthegreywolf.com. I am the Commodore. And there is no reset button.